Pensacola, Florida. When I get to town, we're going to treat all you women the way women ought to be treated. Because the NWA and Saria men are going to take that Civic Center apart, and then we're all going to be over at Rodeo driving the women wild.
Yeah, Rick, that's what's happening. All right, 10 minutes away from a grand in your hand, your chance at $1,000. Quickly, headlines brought to you by VenueKings.com. Mariners sweep the doubleheader yesterday in Baltimore, take the series 3 out of 4. Now they're at home tonight against the Houston Astros for a 3-game set over the weekend. Yusei Kikuchi versus Jose Urquidy. Kyle Lewis is not going to play in that series, unfortunately. He will still be out. And he is going to possibly, hopefully, return early next week, maybe even for that Dodgers series. Sounders tonight, 6:30 kickoff over at Lumen Field. And right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR, pre- and post-game starts at 6 o'clock pregame with Jackson Felt, who we'll have on at noon to preview tonight and the season. And then before we bring on Jim Moore here, I want to get a quick PGA leaderboard update brought to you by Circling Raven Golf Club, which you can find at the Quarter Lane Casino Resort and Hotel. Scenic views, wildlife, beautiful swooping eagles, and I don't know what else is running around. Black-tailed deer, whatever you got over there. It's hey, it's east, whatever. It's gorgeous at Circling Raven Golf Club. Book their stay and play package at cdacasino.com. The RBC Heritage at Hilton Head in South Carolina. Stuart Sink right now is your leader at 12 under par. He is 4 under through 6 holes today, so off to a good start there. He has eclipsed Corey Connors, the Canadian, who sits at 11 under after a 7 under round today. Jim Moore joining us, the go-to guy, Jim Moore. You can find him at Cougs Go on Twitter. And he is brought to us by Fairway Mortgage. Jim, this is quickly becoming my favorite segment of the week, so I'm glad you could come on. Even while Puckett is away, you're still willing to spend a couple minutes with me, and I appreciate that. I really do.
Well, thanks for having me, Slick and Curtis. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this every Friday at 11, and I heard you talking about Circling Raven. You're right about Circling Raven. My kids and wife and I were over there last summer, and they couldn't get enough of it, and I couldn't either. It's a beautiful spot. You got gambling there, too, so how can you go wrong?
Exactly. It's right there. It's hooked up to a casino, so it's got everything that you could want. Speaking of gambling, man, if I were a betting man on when the season started, if you had told me April 16th, how much money would I put down that the Mariners would be leading the AL West, it would have been a very small sum that I would have been able to put down on the table. But here we find ourselves, Jim, after a nice little series in Baltimore, a good road trip for the club, and now they come back to take on the Cheaters.
Yeah, they do come back. It's going to be fun to see what the fans do. I was automatically thinking about when A-Rod returned and the guy with the fishing rod and casting money out toward the on-deck circle. So I know that somebody's going to get creative. There's probably all kinds of somebody's in the 9,000 bands that will be there tonight. And I hope they let the Astros have it. It's too bad that the COVID restrictions on Altuve and Bregman and a couple of their other players won't allow them, I think. Isn't that the latest where they're not going to be playing tonight?
Not tonight.
Really get on.
They may join up later in the series, but as of for tonight, they're still going to be on the COVID IL. There are 5 Astros who won't be able to play tonight.
No, Slick, I'd like to go along with what you're saying. You wouldn't have put any money on the Mariners. Well, I can't do that because I did put money on the Mariners. I bet 20 on them at 25-1 odds to win the West. And it was just so I could have a season-long bet on them. I didn't sit there and think, I really like their chances. But sitting there at 8-5, and you look around at the Astros, some of the problems they're having right now, I don't look at anyone else in the division being that much better than the Mariners anymore. And so, if all things go right, the rotation is looking pretty good right now, better than pretty good, especially the last starts from Sheffield and Dunn. Flexen's been hit and miss in his 2 starts, but Marco, is good to see him getting it turned around. And then Haniger playing the way he's playing like he did back in 2018. J.P. Crawford's starting to hit a little bit. You got Kyle Lewis coming. So, yeah, I'm kind of fired up about the team. Now, one of my kids yesterday was like, Dad, but it's just the Orioles, J.P. Well, okay, you took 3 out of 4 from the Orioles, but what would people have been saying if you'd lost 3 of 4 to the Orioles? Man, the Orioles stink, and they still lost 3 of 4 to them. So what were they supposed to do? They did what they were supposed to do.
No, exactly. Anytime you take 3 out of 4 in a 4-game series, you feel good about that. Doesn't matter who it is. So split, you feel fine, but you feel real good about winning a series like that. The reason I wouldn't put that long-term money down on them to win the West ultimately is just I'm of the opinion that any veteran player that plays well, they're going to be trying to move either at the deadline or before. You got Mitch Haniger and Kyle Seager who are hitting really, really well here to start the season. And I feel like both of them are going to be candidates to be traded for some younger pieces. Do you think that those guys will stick around through the end of the season, or do you think that they're maybe headed off for brighter pastures if they continue to hit the ball well?
Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? I like to think that Jerry DePoto's going to keep him, but it makes more sense to trade him and get something for him and make room for the younger players that you have coming up. But I hope the hell he keeps him. If they're playing the way they are right now, and if the Mariners are in first place, can you imagine what that's going to do to the morale of the team? I mean, okay, down the road, you're looking at sustaining things and being more successful in the rest of the decade. But what about the year of 2021 when you haven't been to the playoffs for 20 years and if Canada's hitting 300 and he's hitting 400-foot home runs left and right, are you really going to trade him if you're in the middle of a pennant race? And the same goes for Kyle Seager. I've always loved Kyle Seager. I know, is he overpaid? He was for a while, but I don't think he's overpaid this year.
Yeah.
And if you could get him for $15 million and keep him around and have a veteran presence there in that clubhouse, and Kendall Graveman, guys like that, you got to have some veterans to complement all the young guys. So, yeah, I'm hoping that they'll catch.
No, I'm with you, too. I would love to see it. Trust me. I don't want to see these guys go anywhere. It just when you get to this point in the rebuild and everything, I know where the Mariners, where their heads are at as far as where they think they are in the process. And they're not looking at this year as being a contending year, not for the World Series anyway. If they were to sneak into the playoffs somehow, I think they would take that as gravy. I just don't think they're going to upset the process to do it. And I think the process involves just still getting younger. And if that involves trading two veterans that are hitting really well, I don't think that Jerry DePoto would hesitate to do something like that, unfortunately.
Well, yeah.
It's fun to watch him win, Jim, for once.
No, I know, but don't you? I mean, like, when they're going through a process, they think to themselves, okay, I got to stick to my process and what I'm doing, but don't unforeseen things come up that change the process? I mean, I would consider what's going on, again, if they're in contention and these guys are just knocking the cover off the ball and playing well, I just can't imagine him treating them then. Yeah. Because it'd be, what if you're one of those kids in the clubhouse and you go, what, they treated Mitch, they got rid of Kyle too? I mean, I know that there's a long-term building plan, but what about this season? I mean, this season could turn out to be a really important one. I know most of us are looking at it like, okay, 2022, but those bells, that's just sick of waiting. I mean, you know, if they're going to hang in there and be as good as they've been through 13 games later on in the season, let's ride it out.
I like that. I like that mentality. Jim Moore, the go-to guy, talking to us at Cougs Go on Twitter. And Jim, jumping to the Seahawks real quick, because they added Aldon Smith to that pass rush group now. And so it's a year ago, you know, when everybody was talking, and me included, hey, you got to get bringing Clowney, you got to bring in Clowney, just because there was just a dearth of pass rushers. But since then, obviously, I include Jamal Adams in the crop of pass rushers. He doesn't play that natural defensive end spot. He's a safety, but he's your leading sack guy from last year. So between him and all the additions that they made along the defensive line this year, bringing Carlos Dunlap back, I just kind of think that something that was their biggest weakness a year ago now is maybe one of their biggest strengths, at least on defense, and it's been quite a turnaround to see them make that change.
Yeah, I thought getting Aldon Smith, when you talk about it, I thought, man, they got all kinds of pass rushers now, and early in the season they looked like they were going to set another record for futility when it came to the pass rush, but they certainly came on after getting Dunlap and then Jamal Adams giving you what he gives you from the strong safety spot. But you also were hurt last year when you had Bruce Irvin go down early in the season. So now this year, they're in a position where if one of these guys gets hurt, they can still, you know, go to the on-deck circle and bring somebody else in. So, yeah, I like what they're doing there. They got you know, whatever you want to say about Alden Smith, the off-field problems, are they in the past? You know, you hope they are. He was suspended for a long time, and you're getting him on a low-cost, low-risk deal, high reward. So, yeah, it should be fun to see him get after the quarterback, especially when you note that Smith had 5 sacks last year, but along with those sacks were the 20 quarterback pressures, which you like seeing that too.
There's a draft coming up here in 13 days where the Seahawks don't figure to be too involved. Only 3 picks, a second rounder, a fourth rounder, and a seventh rounder. And I, you know what? The way they've had the attitude toward this draft, and I get why they did it, just because you have limited information, you have no combine, guys who maybe didn't play last year or played, you know, very limited games last year in college coming out in the draft. So it makes sense why they would use those resources for other things. But I could even see them maybe moving that second round pick too and trying to either pick up something later on. You know, I hearken back to the one good thing that that came out of the Jim Mora era, as quick as it was, as brief as it was. And that's the fact that they took a second round pick on draft day, traded it with the Broncos for a first round pick, and actually got them the draft pick in the first round that yielded them Earl Thomas. So that was a big deal. Do you see them maybe moving out of that entirely, out of that second round?
I do. I just can't imagine Schneider going into the draft, looking at everybody going, man, we got 3 picks and we got to wait until whatever it is late in the second round to make our first pick. You know, I'm kind of thinking he should just stay there, though, and just get the best player available whenever it's his turn to pick, and not trying to be cute with it this year. Because what are you going to do? You're going to trade that second round pick, and we're going to be sitting there going, okay, well, let's see, they got a fourth and a seventh for that second, or whatever they end up getting. They'll get, you know, multiple picks. But doesn't it stand to reason, Slick, that the lower you pick, the less chance you're going to have of hitting on a guy? At least that's the way I always look at it. Now, I know you can go back and go, yeah, well, what about Richard Sherman in the fifth round and KJ Wright in the fourth round? There's all kinds of examples of guys that they hit on.
Sure.
But there's also more examples of guys they didn't hit on that lost out of the league. So I just hope they sit there. And, you know, people rip them for like, man, I can't believe you hung in there. You're stuck with 3 picks. You know, you used to have 8 picks. Well, I would just say, you know what, I'm just going to go with the best player right there at number 2 and hope it all works out with him.
And if they're riding off this draft truly like it seems like they are, you know, you want to make the quarterback happy, just let Russell make the picks. Let him make all 3 picks. Why not? Just let him up there. And then Nick, you can see how hard this personnel thing is.
Do you think he'd go after an offensive lineman or a receiver?
I think he'd go after a receiver, honestly. With the second round pick, I think he'd take one. I mean, because it's a great crop of receivers, and we'll talk to Dane Brugler at 12:20 about just that. But there are a lot of receivers in this draft. I think he would, even though he talks so much about getting hit and everything, I think he'd go for a wide receiver, a third receiver.
Yeah, well, especially with David Moore being gone. I mean, mm-hmm. You're looking for a third receiver. You got Gerald Everett, who'd probably be the third leading receiver this year as a tight end, but I think you're right on that one, but he's also the guy that was complaining about not being protected, too.
Yeah. Well, that would be interesting. I want to see that. I want to see him. You know, they do the shot of the war room, and it's just Russell by himself just making calls. I would love that. This weather, man, is so perfect. I know you know how to take advantage of great weather, so what do you got going on this weekend?
Well, right now I'm out on a Tibbetts Field in Issaquah, just walking my dogs around in the grass. And then, honestly, I'm really looking forward. I'm playing golf during the week quite a bit since I got laid off by the other guys. And so I've got more time to do that. But then this weekend I'm really looking forward to it because my kids are going to be playing a couple of baseball games, I think, over at Bellevue College. And there's nothing better. So, like, I don't know if it's good or not, but it's so much fun with watching your kids play sports. And it's something that's been taken away from a lot of parents, and it's been taken away from the kids. And so I can't wait to get out there in my Tommy Bahama chair and just sit there with a red Solo cup and watch my kids get the batter's box again. I'm just fired up about that.
I'm not even going to ask you what's going to be in the Solo cup. I've got my own ideas. I'm sure you know what to do, and you'll do the damn thing, Jim.
Do you think anybody looking at somebody with a red Solo cup is going, yeah, he's just got Kool-Aid in there. Yeah, just, you know, just some water.
I mean, you know, it's a hot day. He's trying to stay hydrated.
You're trying to hide something, but you're not really.
Jim, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Okay, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Jim Moore there, brought to you... yeah, it's just water. Brought to you by Fairway Mortgage. It's just water. And just want to stay hydrated in the hot, you know, avoid heat stroke. That's all it is, I'm sure. So Jim Moore joins us every Friday, every Ric Flair Friday at 11 o'clock. Appreciate that. Before I go, I'm going to let you know that sportsradiokjr.com, just go ahead and enter that into either your phone browser or your web browser at work, wherever you're listening right now, because I'm about to give you an opportunity to win $1,000 with this keyword.